Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down each week to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how are we doing today?
Well, doing great, Ben. Here we are getting ready for Thanksgiving and it's rivalry week with the game. So outstanding time in our department.
Absolutely. Rounding out a heavy competitive November, heading into a championship season for our fall sports. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on here on campus?
Yeah, we got a lot going on. Obviously, it is Thanksgiving week, and we are preparing for the big rivalry game against that team up north this Saturday. And we have ESPN game day coming in. We have Fox noon kickoff coming in. They're actually broadcasting the game, and BTN will be on site as well. So we have a lot of action going on, and hopefully the good Lord blesses us with good weather and the sun will be out. So hopefully we can get that, but really proud of our teams. Our fall sports teams, men's and women's soccer, just completed their season. Both of them advanced past the first round and wins, but they fell this weekend, so they're done for the season. And really proud of our women's cross country team. They finished in the top 15, best finish they've ever had. So really performed well. And wrestling team got off to a good start. They're 3-0 at this point in time. And men's ice hockey had a great series this past weekend with Notre Dame, and split that series, and our women's ice hockey team is doing great. So really proud of our teams. Basketball is off and running. Men are in Hawaii on the beach somewhere. They're supposed to be playing games, but they're on the beach somewhere. We know how that rolls. But really proud of our kids. They're just doing a marvelous job. So that time of year, and just ready to roll.
We told our staff that traveled out with the basketball team, you guys better not come back too tan, or else we're going to know you guys weren't actually working.
They will. They'll come back with a little tan on them. We know. We got to get them before they get off the plane.
Yep. Today, we have another one of our staff and student athlete spotlight series here on the Gene Smith Podcast. So we're joined by two passionate Buckeyes that we're really proud to have represent our department and university. Our first guest today is the manager of facility operations for Ohio Stadium, serving in his 19th year working at the SHU. Welcome, Jason Browning.
Thank you very much, guys. It's an honor to be here.
Really excited to have you. Our second guest is a fifth-year senior captain on the aforementioned Ohio State men's ice hockey team, coming off the series with Notre Dame this weekend with 31 career goals. Welcome, Gustav Westland.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Really excited to have you here. So Jason, wanted to start with you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what initially brought you to Ohio State?
Sure. Always been, had a sports has had just a huge presence in my life, whether playing or coaching later on. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, so I've lived in the shadow of the stadium or the Ohio State University for pretty much my entire life. My mother worked in the Department of Recreational Sports, so what was formerly the Larkins Hall, which soon became the RPAC. And actually started out my employment there while I was in high school. I worked as a lifeguard over at Larkins Hall. And then when I began my undergrad, way back in the early 2000s, I was looking for a little bit of a change, and my mother had some connections over here within athletics. One of those happened to be Don Patko, and so she connected me with him. I started out as a part-time staffer and just was in awe of the fact that I could work in the stadium and have the opportunity to work football games and just be right in the middle of everything going on. And so really latched on to that. I did my undergrad. I finished my degree with a degree in speech and hearing science. So at the time I was looking to go into something more school related, kind of education adjacent, and speech and hearing at the time was just something that really grabbed me. So obviously I veered a little bit from there once I graduated. Parents were pushing me to grad school and I wasn't really ready for that. I was really just looking to work and finding it, looking for any opportunity I could to stay around athletics. And sure enough, a position came open within the actual stadium as a building coordinator. And I was asked to interview for the job, not that I needed to. I was overly excited just to have an opportunity. And so in 2014, I was offered the that building coordinator job. And I've received a little bit of I've received a significant role elevation in the past couple months as kind of the overseer of more of the facility operations, day-to-day events related type stuff. But yeah, that's the long and short of my journey, and couldn't be more thankful to be a part of it.
What do you like about your line of work, Jason?
I'm a people person. So I think it fits that I work in a building that can house just a ridiculous amount of people. But one of my favorite things, so my office is located in the very north end of the stadium, which we call the Rotunda, one of the most iconic parts of the building. And honestly, one of my favorite things to do is just to encounter random people up there that are there to visit the stadium and watch their faces light up when you tell them they can walk in and just take a peek, because half of them will walk up and have their cell phone or a camera and just be like, hey, can you run down there and get a picture for me? We're here from wherever, you know, maybe they're in town, out of town, but just to see that. I feel like being here for a number of years, or anywhere, it's easy to get jaded. It's easy to, you know, sort of take for granted this really special place that we're at. And I feel like that helps renew it. Seeing the constant flow of people come up, want to see the stadium or want to ask you about it, or just in awe that you work there. It just never gets old. So that's one of my favorite parts, is just seeing, just being in a place that's really has that kind of that draw, no matter what. Whether it's, obviously if it's for a football game, it's frenzied. There's people everywhere. But even on the days where there's not a lot going on, when it's 30 degrees outside, there's still people that walk up and want to see the stadium or want to know anything they can about it. So I feel like that's sort of helped it keep the job fresh, keep it new, and keep a constant reminder as to what drew me in initially.
Yeah. Gene, we've highlighted the shoe many times this year, obviously celebrating its 100th anniversary. What sort of resources go into maintaining a facility like that? And how does Jason's team play a role in that?
Well, first, the primary resource is really Jason and his team. You know, the people who are like Jason, who are passionate, and there are many of them are students that work with Jason and others that really invest their time and energy into taking care of the shoe and have that passion and love for it. And that's the biggest investment and the biggest resource we have. And so then after that, we'll spend somewhere north around $2.5 million, a little north of that, to upkeep it on an annual basis. And that goes for a number of different things in the shoe, everywhere from the cement to the pipes to whatever. And so it's a duty, it's a responsibility that we have to upkeep such a iconic facility that Buckeye Nation rallies around, and we have other events in there as well besides football. So the biggest investment is really we're blessed to have people like Jason who have his passion and commitment to take care of it and also give other people a chance to see it and be a part of it.
Absolutely. Gustav, why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey to Ohio State? What made you decide that Ohio State was the best fit for you?
Sure. I just want to say thanks to Jason first. It was cool hearing about your stuff. It was this year has been one of the first years I've actually gone to more than one football game, and I've enjoyed it every single time. And you're talking a little bit about people coming from everywhere around the world. And I had actually two of my friends from back home in Sweden who came over and we watched the Iowa game, and it was, you know, like always in the crazy, incredible experience, and you know, they were in awe, and I had a great time myself, although I've experienced it a couple of times. They really, really were mind blown. So you do a great job there, Jason, I'm sure. Well, my story, kind of started back in 2015 with me moving from Sweden to the States, and went to prep school in Connecticut for a year, and then I moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, and played junior hockey, and it's kind of what everyone on our team does or have done, play junior hockey, which is like that intermediate step between high school and college, and you just grow and you work your craft, and you know, you get recruited, and Ohio State was really what stood out to me. And just to put some context to the story, I was really looking to check three boxes, and you know, athletics was the primary box, and hockey obviously, and the athletic department here speaks for itself. Hockey has been growing in the past decade, and it's been amazing to be a little part of that. And you know, besides athletics, it's academics, another box I wanted to check, and Ohio State checked that one, of course, as well. And then it was socially. So those were the three boxes I wanted to check: academics, athletics, and a social life. And you know, I think Ohio State is, you know, it checks all those boxes, and it's a big school. I wanted to go to a big school. I wanted to be a part of the big school experience, and especially being from where I'm from, you know, that's kind of like what college is about, to get that big school experience. And I feel like throughout my years, I couldn't have been more happier than what I've experienced.
Gustav, you obviously grew up playing the sport, but when did you start playing hockey? And then when did you know that you had a future in the sport?
I always tell people I've played for as long as I can remember. You know, it's always been part of my life, and not really sure what year I started playing or how old I was, but you know, I think it's always been something that I just enjoyed doing. I haven't really seen it as, in our case, something that I'm really good at and should continue doing just because I'm good at it. It's something I enjoy doing, and you know, maybe I got to that point where I realized, okay, maybe I can turn this into a career. But you know, I still don't feel like it as, you know, a potential job opportunity. It's more of me enjoying the game, and you know, I want to stay involved in it. That's more what it's like.
Absolutely.
Gene, what are you majoring in? What's tell us about your academic world.
So I major in economics. I completed that last year, did all the heavy lifting, but I delayed my graduation. So I just, this year I'm adding a couple minors, one in communications and one in HCFS. And by the way, guys, let me know if there's just too much noise, because the guys just got on the ice here. But that's my academics. Done mostly heavy lifting, and now I'm adding minors and just adding to my undergraduate.
Gene, how have you seen the recruitment of international student athletes like Gustav evolve over the years?
Well, it's really picked up. Actually, we've always recruited internationally and been blessed to have, you know, just talented and gifted student athletes like Gustav come to Ohio State and Columbus. And so it's been something that all of our coaches have embraced. I remember actually when I first came here in 2005, our golf programs didn't recruit internationally. And over time, Therese picked that up a little bit. And then actually Ty Tucker in tennis picked it up a little bit. So all of our sports have some international flavor to them, which is really great. I mean, that having international student athletes on our teams is great educational benefits for our domestic student athletes. You know, for Gustav to come here and be here as long as he's been here, but also share what it's like from his country. A lot of our student athletes from the States learn from him and all of our other international student athletes. And of course, they learn, our international student athletes. You know, Columbus is a little bit different than Lincoln, isn't it, Gustav? So slightly different. So he learned a lot.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, you got a big campus like the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, but it is better in Columbus. I'm not saying that anything else, but you know, it was definitely different from Connecticut and being in that environment.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a huge benefit for us to be blessed to have our international student athletes here. And many of them, like in the last Olympics in Rio, compete for their countries and for the Olympics, which is another thing that's beautiful to watch. And we have some of them that have come back. You think about Emma in women's ice hockey, who won the gold, and she's back here competing. So it's really cool.
She's getting quite the trophy case, you know, between gold medal and national championship. Not much else you can ask for there. Operationally, Gene, what does it look like to provide a scholarship to an international student athlete? How does that differ from somebody maybe like Jason who grew up in Columbus?
Yeah, so sometimes it's a little bit more challenging depending upon where they're coming from, but the taxes are differently, obviously. It's kind of one of our challenges with NIL, as our international student athletes are prohibited from participating locally. So they literally have to go back home and participate in any NIL structure. But it really, really depends on where they're from and what the circumstances is with their particular environment, or primarily around taxes. But most of it works. I mean, you know, they whether they're on a percentage or full, they still have access to the Austin money, still have access to cost of attendance based upon their scholarship allocation. So as Gustav will tell you, they still have access to the meals, they have the food. So you know, sometimes we discount the meals and the food, but that does contribute in a big way.
We get spoiled.
It was really cool.
Jason, a lot of the people listening here have obviously they visited the stadium on a game day or seen that environment. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of an overview of what goes into getting that facility ready to welcome our 105,000 best friends?
I think the biggest goal, Ben, is to have it nearly walk-in ready. Like maybe we might be running around polishing her up. But walk in ready by Saturday, whenever game time is, or even just when, you know, the sun rises on Saturday, I guess is the best way to put it. But a lot of our preparation, a lot of our, fine tuning of spaces and supplies and equipment, a lot of that, I'd say the majority of it takes place the week leading up. As you get later in the week, you're working more towards making sure equipment and supplies and stuff are kind of tucked away, just because the temptation with such a big building is to set stuff down everywhere, to set pallets of Coke product or whatever it is. If we're working on a particular construction project, having a certain amount of equipment up and laid out in the concourse somewhere. So it's very important that we go through. One, make sure all those projects and all those things are on time. But the last couple of days of the week, walking the building essentially like you would if you're a patron of a game or you're a person attending the game, and make sure there aren't safety issues first of all. So is the building walkable? Is it is it safe? Are people going to slip? Are they going to get stabbed by something? Are there random screws on the ground? Those kinds of things are usually the first wave, and then. The second wave is tidiness and clean. Does everything look good? Is everything where it should be? Have we gone to the detail that we need to make sure that, we're putting forth the most professional example that we can set. So operationally, there's a lot of moving pieces. With this week, it's very unique because you have a lot of TV elements and you have TV on top of TV. So you have to, we want to dignify all of that. All of that is great attention. And College Game Day and Big Noon Kickoff and Fox and all of their team has just been you know, they like being here. We get the impression that they like being here. And I don't know if that's, I want to say it's more because of our staff and our reception of them and the willingness that we, you know, that we provide to go to that extra level to accommodate people. So this week a little be a little bit different, but you know, for the most part, those are my biggest goals are safety and cleanliness. And it's elevated a little bit as you enter our interior spaces. As I'm sure you're aware, Ben, you know, we have, you know, in our interior spaces, that's a much higher profile clientele, which means much higher detail, much, we want to make sure that those spaces are exceptional. And if people are guests in those spaces, we want them to see those and, you know, want to come back, whether that's, you know, investing it themselves or buying a ticket or whatever. That's always my goal is whenever, whether it's for a football game or a tour or, you know, as large or small it can be, when people enter our building, I want them to have a good impression and I want them to want to come back and feel like they had a good experience there. So there can be a lot that goes into it, but game day tends to slow down a little bit. Game day gets very routinized. We've learned to know what to expect, what our timing elements are. We have a couple unique things that happen on field with the band and moving TV carts and cameras. And we'll have some other unique elements this weekend with the Tunnel of Pride, which is a really cool thing. So it can certainly get very convoluted and complicated, but especially for something like this week, to me, that just means excitement. That just means that there's a lot going on for something big that's about to happen. So.
Yeah, as we've mentioned there, you know, we have the last of our 8 home games coming up on Saturday against a small upstart school in Ann Arbor. But looking into the future then, Jason, recently it's been announced we'll be hosting some concerts again this summer. Tell us about those events and the lead up to them.
It's a lot. Concerts are a heavy lift, but we are very... we benefit tremendously from our collaboration with our business advancement team, just because being, you know, primarily based out of the shot, they do concerts and sort of these larger scale events more readily. So a lot of the programming, the scheduling, the all of the behind the scenes related to production type stuff, we sort of take our lead from them, just because they have those repetitions and do it constantly. And while we have done it before, you know, doing it 2-3 times in a year just doesn't always give us those reps and that experience that we need. We certainly feel confident about being able to put on, you know, large scale or you know, large scale or small scale concert. But at the same time, there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of things that go into that we just don't have the infrastructure for to do readily. So it's always nice. Again, I'm a people person. I like collaborating. I like being able to work with people both in our building and outside of our building and just kind of gain experience from where they see things. But it's a heavy lift, but again, like a football game, it's just so amazing to see it on that actual event day, to see it all come together and know, man, we were building a stage, you know, 14 days ago and laying chairs and flooring and all this kind of stuff. So it's, you don't really get to resonate on the actual effort and all the people that really go into it until after, and you get a chance to breathe and sort of debrief and congratulate everyone on going through all that. But yeah, it's a great experience. It's a lot, but we'll be able to handle it.
Gene, we for many years didn't have any concerts at the stadium for a while there. When did we decide to bring them back and what drove that decision?
Well, in 2006 was our last year on grass. And while I prefer grass to play on in football, reality is that we were being very cautious with the stadium grass. Because anytime you, as Jason shared, you cover the field, and if you wanted to have multiple concerts in there, it made it difficult on the grass because you have to cover the field. So we made the decision to go to turf, And part of that decision was to be able to have more activities in the shoe. You know, we've had, you know, everything from huge Make-A-Wish celebrations in there that were massive, with massive tents at night, to all the concerts. And so we started the Buckeye Country Fest. I was able to hopefully have something that would be annual, where we have the Buckeye Country Fest every single year, if we can make that happen. And then you have concerts like the Billy Joel concert and Stevie Nicks concert that's coming. And you know, we wouldn't have been able to have Beyonce and JC the year that we had them. And just so many great opportunities when you have a multi-million dollar iconic facility sitting there. You have to bring it to life. You have to use it. We have over 1,200 tours annually. And it gets back to what Jason was talking about earlier, about trying to always have it presentable and safe. So we just felt like we needed to make sure that we could have events like the concerts in there and cover the field more often. And turf allows you to do that. And it's just, when you have a multi-million-dollar facility like that, you have to have it available to all of Buckeye Nation and all the fans. When we did the soccer event in there, whatever year that was, they came in from Mexico to see that soccer event. And so, you know, like the Shot is a facility that takes a great deal of effort to change over from ice to floor and floor to ice. Concerts are in there constantly, and Gustav and his team have to deal with that constantly. But it's another facility that a Buckeye Nation needs to be a part of constantly. So anyway, that's kind of our philosophy.
Speaking of the transition to ice, Gene, Gustav and his team are getting ready to play outdoor up in Cleveland this year against our rival. And have we ever considered putting some ice down in the stadium and playing a ice hockey game there?
Yeah, we're in constant contact, constant conversations with Blue Jackets and NHL about that possibility, and still are in conversations about that. And, you know, part of our challenge is the facility. Jason knows better than I. It's, we winterize the stadium as soon as the season is over in football. And, you know, we have a lot of old pipes in there. So people, you know, you got to blow out, got to blow those pipes out, get that water out. Otherwise, they're freezing. Next thing you know, we're replacing a whole line. And so there's just, you know, there's just a lot of things you have to do. And so, you know, we're looking at it. We understand the costs to make it happen. So hopefully in the future it does happen. I don't know when, but we're never going to give up the conversation.
Gustav, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this year's Ohio State men's ice hockey team and what you think might differentiate this team from the other ones you've been on?
Yeah, for sure. It's a hungry team. I mean, we were ranked 16th, I believe, at the end of the year last year, and just didn't make the national tournament. And, you know, it's a hungry group of guys who are willing to come back and finish business, because it was some, that was the feeling last year, unfinished business, where we kind of surprised everyone and had a really good run, and unfortunately we fell on the goal line last year and didn't qualify for the national tournament. So these are guys, a group of guys, they're determined to make it back there. And you know, ever since that year when COVID hit, when we had a really good team, it's kind of been a tough road back. And now it's the guys who are seniors and myself, we are the only ones who are left from that year. And we're looking to, you know, get back there where Ohio State hockey belongs. And you know, it's looking good for now.
I would tell you, if they haven't been to an ice hockey game, you got to get out. I mean, they're fun to watch. They're fast on the ice. They're aggressive. You know, that first Notre Dame contest, I think we had a few guys in the penalty box, but they're really fun to watch. And it's just a great sport, and it's very comfortable. I mean, the Shot is a great place to watch ice hockey, very accommodating, very easy to get around and get into. So if you haven't been to any of their contests, you should get out. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were there Friday, and it it was electric. It was a fun game to watch. It's a great atmosphere. Gustav, I know your season came to an abrupt end, but you're stepping into a new role with the team now. Has that intrigued you from a coaching perspective at all? And what do you want to do when you're ultimately done playing hockey?
Miracles happen. I like to stay positive. We'll see. It's still early, but the prognosis is what it is. And I'm taking, like we said earlier before the podcast started, day by day and week by week, but we'll see. But other than that, I think that's kind of the whole reason why I came to school to begin with. Back home, people turn pro when they're 17 and they put themselves at risk at not knowing what to do once they're done playing hockey. And that's why I came over here and get a degree. And although I'm not quite sure what I want to do, I have a degree in economics and we'll be graduating in the spring and we'll see. I like people and I like understanding people, and the economics degree leaves a lot of doors open, but I don't know, maybe market research. I don't know. We'll see. But, at least I have the option to, which I probably wouldn't have if I stayed home.
Has this made you any interested at all in coaching?
Oh, in coaching. I've always been into the sports, coaching, maybe one day more of an agent, maybe. Coaches have a different type of job where a lot more responsibility and, maybe one day when I got some years on my back, but more of an agent probably.
Gene, you talked real briefly about the communication with the Jackets. Our men's ice hockey team is one of the few ones here at Ohio State that has a professional counterpart here in town. So what's that relationship with the Jackets like?
Oh, it's great. I mean, it really is. We oversee Nationwide Arena. I forgot what year it was. We won the bid to manage that facility. And so it really makes it easy for us to have that relationship with the Blue Cat Jackets. They are our primary tenant in that facility and making sure that those great athletes have what they need in that facility is the same as it is for our student athletes and our fans. You go to a Blue Jackets game and those fans are into it just like our fans are, and even more so. It's Nationwide Arena is a special place. And so making sure that those great athletes have what they need and so that they can compete at the highest level is what we do. So it's a great relationship and know many of the owners. They're great friends and great investors in our institution, not just athletics, but many parts of our campus. So it's really kind of cool to have that where you have everybody invested in both programs. It's really kind of cool.
Really appreciate Gustav and Jason taking the time to chat today. Jason, before we let you go, I know, you're avid runner and you have a lot of fun experience in running much further distances than Gene and I are comfortable with, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience with the Nationwide Children's Hospital Columbus Marathon?
Sure. So I ran a little bit in high school, had a buddy just kind of push me over the edge into wanting to do an actual like marathon and do the 26.2. So I did my first one way back in like 2005, I want to say, and then kind of went dormant. And then right around 2010, 2011, started to gain some interest, always knew about our race here in town, the Columbus Marathon. So I signed up for that, ran it, and I was just awestruck by the support first off from the city, just to see people out, supporting random people who are running an absurd distance is just like, that was just like heartwarming to me, just to see, people just outpouring support for people they don't know. But also the connection to the hospital. So at every mile, there's a It's dedicated to a children's champion, which can be, it usually involves that child's family, but some kind of child that's received treatment or is still receiving treatment through the hospital. And in 2019, last year, 2021, coincidentally, my daughter, who was born 10 weeks premature and treated at Nationwide Children's, she had to have emergency intervention for a bowel malrotation, which everything went well. She is in OSU daycare now. She's 4 and a half, going on 5. Nothing but great things to report in terms of her progress. But my wife also works for a company called, they formerly known as Alliance Data, now known as Bread Financial. And they sponsor one of the miles, and they asked Nora and our family to be the mile sponsor, the patient champion for mile 7 last year. So even with all the good juju and everything prior to, you know, actually having my daughter in the race, it was just like an exceptional experience last year when I ran it, to have my family it ingrained in the actual race itself. But yeah, just cannot say enough about the Nationwide Children's community and what they do. Again, like the Blue Jackets are a huge supporter of the Nationwide Children's Hospital, as are many entities around Columbus. So that's, first of all, the cool thing is just to see that like Columbus rally around each other, whether it's Ohio sports, whether it's Nationwide Children's Hospital, but just again, that interconnectivity of do-goodness. So yeah, that race is something that I'm going to try and do every year for as long as I physically can, and as long as like time lends itself. So I was able to do it again this past year successfully. But yeah, the 2021 race was just an incredible experience in all facets. So very, very thankful to have had that opportunity.
Well, Jason, thank you for doing that. Really appreciate your hard work there. I know Gustav's just thinking about how he's going to run in it next year, but
yeah.
But no, thank you for doing that. Nationwide Children's Hospital does so much great work, and anytime that we can support them, we should. So thank you for doing that.
Of course.
I want to thank Gustav and Jason for their time today. That does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. Really appreciate Jason and sharing your story, and Gustav taking some time to be here with us. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. Be sure to leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well, and go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Thank you, Gustav. Thank you, Jason.